and welcome to Argue the Toss at GameIndustry.com. I'm Shella, and today I've got Todd with me, and together we're arguing the toss about the things that really matter in games. I almost said in James then. Hi Todd, hey, how are you doing?
Doing good. Glad to be here finally.
Yes, I know. Good to have you.
It's been a while for me to get on here, hasn't it?
It has. It's been a while. We've had quite a few episodes now, and so you're finally here. Do you want to introduce our topic this week?
This is a topic that I've been interested in for a long time. It's about game soundtracks, especially the soundtracks that we've grew up with that were memorable and that many people tend to forget about. I mean, we always hear everyone talking about how great the Double Dragon. Botch for the first one. You can tell them off to get started. Now we're talking about, everyone wants to talk about Mega Man and Final Fantasy soundtracks, and they have been played to death. I know there's a lot more soundtracks out there that are just as good, that deserve much more attention. Especially in more modern games, I was able to find a couple that really impressed me.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think soundtracks are just they've become really epic and cinematic, and there's all kinds of different stuff going on now, and then you still get the kind of old school kind of sounding stuff as well. So there's a lot to choose from. It took me quite a while to think of what I wanted to put on our list, because we're just the Bite Size podcast, so we can't go on and on.
Show that used to go upwards of 5 hours.
Yeah, that's right. You're not so good at the sort of pocket size. So I'm going to rein you in today, Todd.
That takes it easier to
edit. Exactly. Yeah, I'm not editing 5 hours of soundtracks.
Don't blame you.
So, do you want to kick us off with one of your well-deserved soundtracks?
I'm going to go sort of across between old school and new school with my first one. And a few years ago, there was a remake for Double Dragon. It came out called Double Dragon Neon. I didn't expect much of this game until I played it. And one of the reasons is because of the soundtrack. At first, it starts off sounding like the original arcade version, only done with modern equipment. Mm-hmm. And then they start coming up with original tracks that actually parody the series.
Oh, nice.
And even the ending theme was actually a rock ballad performed by all the members of the gang cast, especially the lead villain. And keep in mind, the lead villain was supposed to be done as a parody of Skeletor.
Oh, cool. That's good. For all our 80s kids, that's really cool.
It had the lyrics on the bottom so everyone can follow along. I was about ready to pull out my lighter near the end. It was so fun. Awesome. It was so fucking amazing.
That sounds good. Because there is a bit of a sort of a retro music thing going on, because I'm really into sort of new retro wave. From the soundtrack of Drive and stuff like that, all those kind of things like Power Glove and all those kind of bands.
In fact, the guy who composed it, Jay Kaufman, a.k.a. Vert, has done other classic soundtracks.
Oh, okay.
He's done a soundtrack for Contra 4 on the DS. And recently, he did DuckTales Remastered.
So is he part of that scene, that kind of...
Pretty much.
Kind of almost like riffing off the 80s kind of soft rock and electronica and stuff. Yeah. That's cool.
I was able to catch up with him at MAGFest this year and see some of the stuff he's been doing.
Okay, cool. Okay. So what I'm going to go with is The Last of Us. The soundtrack to that was quite unusual, because it could have just been a sort of rambunctious kind of London Philharmonic style, movie style soundtrack, but they didn't go for that. They went for this kind of really sparse, kind of pared back, really melancholy soundtrack from this composer. I can't remember his name now, but he's an Argentinian composer, and he's he is a film composer as well, but the action scenes, for instance, got kind of this driving tribal percussion, and then he used an Argentinian folk instrument, which gave it a really unique sound. And I just thought it was really nice, because games are kind of emulating cinema, so they've got the sort of Hans Zimmer and the John Williams style kind of big cinematic orchestral thing. The Last of Us could have easily done that, because it had enough scope as a game, but they didn't. They went for this other sound. I thought it was really lovely, and it stands up on its own. As a, you know, I've listened to it today whilst I was working, and it's, it's really great.
Maybe when I get another PS4, I'll listen to it again, because I got Last of Us for free, but I never really played it. Didn't really have an interest in it.
Oh, did you not? Yeah. No, I love that game. I actually watched a video of the composer. He was showing, some of the stuff he'd done to the game director. And, he's like, I've gone for this melancholy kind of sound and everything. And the game director was all choked up when he heard it for the first time. So, yeah, that was nice. And it did make me think, you know what, I need to play that game again. So what's next on your list?
I'm going to go to another modern take on a classic game. You know how much of a fan I am of the Killer Instinct remake that came out for Xbox One?
Yeah.
One of the reasons, again, is because of the soundtrack.
Okay.
Apparently, what Mick Gordon did is he took some of the soundtracks from the original characters, updated them as well, and made them dynamic, mm-hmm. so it depends on how the game is going. Like, if your two characters are standard, it just stays pretty basic. But once they start fighting, it intensifies until the point where the Ultras actually have a track of their own. Unfortunately, he's only doing the first two seasons. He's announced at Evo that he is leaving. And he's going to be replaced by two artists. I'm not familiar with them. One is named Atlas Plug.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one's named Cell Dweller. I've heard a lot of positive reports on him.
Okay.
But I'm curious to see how they'll turn out. I mean, Mick Gordon's soundtracks were amazing, especially like when you play as Orchard's TJ Combo. Those were perhaps the best tracks in the game.
Yeah.
In fact, I played them on my phone as I'm driving. Don't worry, I haven't used my phone while driving. I have Bluetooth in my car, so I just let it play in the background, and they're amazing as well.
Okay, well, we'll have to get the links for these soundtracks so that people can listen to them after we've finished. So my next one is the soundtrack for Red Dead Redemption. Because as a Western, it could have been one massive cliche, but they really managed to avoid it. They did have, some familiar things, the sort of Spanishy guitar and stuff like that. But they also had some sort of elements of Blue Note jazz kind of stuff, and then they had a kind of tambourine, which was a bit like a rattlesnake and stuff like that, and then it went into sort of mouth organ stuff and a heavy reverb on the guitar, which is much more Western, what you'd expect from a Western soundtrack.
Yeah, they were doing their best. Coney. So.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I just rode around in that game just to listen to the music and to look at the pretty guy.
Please, Rockstar, put down his backwards compatibility. I want to play that again. I mean, I have it on my 360, but I want to play it on the X1.
Yeah. I want to play it again. So, what's next on your list?
One more remake, and I swear that's my last one.
Okay.
If you all remember an episode of Gin Lounge a few years back, I went off on Sega because they pulled a fan-based remake based on the Streets of Rage series.
Okay.
We already knew that game series had an amazing soundtrack. Yuzo Koshiro did an unbelievable job. Except for Streets of Rage 3, which we already know about that. But the entire soundtrack for all three games was remixed. And I don't know how they did it. It actually sounds better than the original.
Wow.
I mean, keep in mind, they had to remix about nearly 100 tracks for three games. And I don't know.
Wow.
Just nailed it out
they
of the
just
park.
Did
yeah, I just switched Sega, where at least got some sense and made a deal with the guys who developed the game and offered online, but
yeah,
they're probably playing their 3D remake or something. Or, I'm sorry, now it'll be mobile.
But anyway, at least they did a good job of that one. That's amazing. Hold on to the good stuff. But I've just got one. It's not really a massive. It's just a mention, because I don't think you can talk about game soundtracks without saying Super Mario Brothers.
Of course.
So I just wanted to say it so that everybody knows we haven't ignored Super Mario Brothers, probably the most recognizable game soundtrack ever. So I didn't want us to get, you know, angry comments or whatever.
Oh, I get angry comments all the time. I'm used to it.
I know, but, you know, if we can avoid them. So, do you have one more? We might have enough time for one more, and then we'll
wrap it up. Yeah, it's just one
up.
Song. The opening theme to Skyrim.
Okay. That's kind of a modern classic, yeah. I suppose, isn't it?
Rule is, if your balls don't drop, I'll listen to that song, you're not a real man.
Is that the one with the harp?
No, it's the Nord chants.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, it does have a good soundtrack. There's a woman on YouTube that I've seen, and she's done one on the harp. She's got, like,
you mean Lindsay Sterling?
Harp.
She does it on violin, but I know what you're talking about. She does a lot of these soundtracks.
There's one, definitely there's a woman not with a harp. She's like sitting in front of like an Irish castle, a ruined castle and stuff.
I haven't
yeah.
seen one. It was Lindsay Sterling that I've seen.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'll see if I can pull out that harp one and check it across to
I'd
you.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's our soundtracks. So those are our gems that we've pulled out. Of course, we'd like to hear if anybody has any of their soundtracks they'd like to pull out. And we will put links to the ones we've picked today so we can listen to them. And thanks, Todd, for coming back.
No problem.
And we've got a couple more ideas of shows that we're going to do. So hopefully this is the start of a beautiful friendship.
Yes, I hope so. I'll try to leave my Xbox fanboy comments aside then.
Okay. Yeah, because this is the happy room.
Yeah. I'll leave the anger for my column.
Yeah, and in the gin lounge.
Oh, yeah.
John likes your anger in there, so, yeah. So, thanks, Todd, and until next time.